Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novick. In yesterday's shiur, we summarized the biography of the Rambam and began to learn his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, which he opens with a brief history of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh. Two especially significant points in that history were the writing of the Mishnah by Rebbe in the 3rd century of the Common Era, and the composition of both Talmuds, the Yerushalmi in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Yochanan around the year 350, and the Talmud Bavli in Bavel by Ravina and Ravashi about 150 years later. The completion of the Talmud Bavli marked the end of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, in the sense that both components of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral traditions going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the halachic details learned from Sukkim by the midrashic tools available to the Baalei HaMasorah, are contained in their entirety in the Talmuds and in earlier works written by Tanaim, including Midrashim and the Tosefta. But over time, the Talmud became inaccessible to the majority of the Jewish people, both because the people no longer spoke Aramaic, and because the text of the Talmud is written in a very terse manner, often missing many connecting words. This is especially true of the Talmud Yerushalmi, which even today remains a very difficult work to understand. In addition, the style in which the Talmud is written, as a free-flowing discussion and debate which can shift very quickly from one topic to another, and which doesn't always reach a clear conclusion, makes it very challenging for the uninitiated novice to follow and comprehend a Talmudic discussion. The Gaonim, in the following several centuries, wrote works explaining the text of the Talmud and summarizing its conclusions in different areas of halacha. This brings the Rambam to his own day, and we pick up in paragraph Lamed Chet of his introduction. I'm using the lettering in the Koren Steinsaltz edition of the Mishnah Torah, but for anyone following using some other edition, we're up to the last 10% or so in the introductory text before the Rambam starts his list of all 613 mitzvot. Uvizman hazeh, tachfu tzaroti terot, v'dachaka sha'a et hakol, v'avda chochmat chachamenu uvinat nivonenu nistatra, l'fichach otana perushin v'atshuvot v'halachot, שחיברו הגאונים וראו שהם דברים מבוארים, נתקשו בימינו, ואין מבין ענייניהם כראוי אלא מעט במספר. ואין צריך לומר התלמוד עצמו, הבבלי והירושלמי, וספרה וספרי והתוספתות, שהן צריכים דעת רחבה ונפש חכמה וזמן ארוך, ואחר כך יוודע מהן הדרך הנכוחה בדברים האסורים והמותרים, ושאר דיני תורה האח היא. In this day, the Rambam says, writing in Egypt of the late 12th century, troubles have only increased, and people have even less time to devote to learning. Recall the Rambam's own experience in fleeing religious persecution from a young age, first from the Muslim Almohads who conquered his home city of Cordoba when he was a child, and then from the Christian crusaders who ruled the city of Akko in Eretz Yisrael, where his family briefly resided. This has reached the point, says the Rambam, where even the works of the Gaonim, which were supposed to have been clear and accessible to all, have become the preserve of a select few who have the background, the ability, and the time to devote themselves to studying Torah in depth. Even more so have both Talmuds, as well as the earlier Midrashim and Tosefta, which need even more time, knowledge, and intellectual ability to understand, become completely closed off from the vast majority of the Jewish people. And now we reach the climax of the introduction, where the Rambam explains what the Mishnah Torah is and why he wrote it. Umipnei ze, na'arti chotzni, ani Moshe b'Rabbi Maimon hasfaradi, v'nish'anti al atzur baruchu, uvinoti b'chol elu hasfarim, v'ra'iti l'chaber dvarim hamitbarim mikol elu achiburin, binyan ha'asur v'hamutar, v'atamei v'atahor, im sha'ar dinei Torah kulan, b'lashon b'rura v'derech kitzara, עד שתהי תורה שבעל פה כולה סדורה בפי הכל, ולא קושיה ולא פירוק, ולא זה אומר בכל וזה אומר בכל, אלא דברים ברורים, קרובים, נכונים, על פי המשפט אשר יתבאר מכל אלו החיבורים והפירושים הנמצאים ממות רבנו הקדוש ועד עכשיו. And so I, Moshe ben Maimon, stirred myself to act. He uses the biblical phrase, Na'arti Chotzni, I shook my garment, from Sefer Nehemiah. I pored through all of these works, from the Mishnah down to the treatises of the Gaonim, and I summarized their conclusions in clear and concise language, so that the Torah Shebaal Peh can be easily accessible to all, with no difficulties, no lack of clarity, and no need to navigate through multiple opinions. Ad shiyu kol hadinim gluyim lakatan v'lagadol, בדין כל מצווה ומצווה, ובדין כל הדברים שתקנו חכמים ונביאים. כללו של דבר, כדי שלא יהיה אדם צריך לחיבור אחר בעולם, בדין מדיני ישראל, אלא יהיה חיבור זה מקבץ לתורה שבעל פה כולה, עם התקנות והמנהגות והגזירות שנעשו ממות משה רבנו ועד חיבור התלמוד, וכמו שפרשו לנו הגאונים בכל חיבוריהן שחיברו אחר התלמוד. לפיכך קראתי שם חיבור זה משנה תורה, לפי שאדם קורא תורה שבכתב תחילה, ואחר כך קורא בזה, ויודע ממנו תורה שבעל פה כולה, ואינו צריך לקרות ספר אחר ביניהם. In this manner, every halacha and every mitzvah is now open to everyone, great and small. The Rambam adds here a very well-known and very controversial statement. No one should need any work of Torah, except the Torah Shebichtav and this magisterial summary that he has written. This is why he has called it the Mishneh Torah, literally second to the Torah, as the bookshelf of the standard Jew should consist of nothing but the written Torah, by which he probably means the entire Tanakh, and this work of the Rambam. Here we need to pause and understand the sheer magnitude of the Rambam's undertaking. His goal was nothing less than an exhaustive summary of all of Torah Shebaal Peh, not just some area of practical halacha, nor even all of practical halacha. At the time of the Gaonim, as much as today, there was a strong emphasis placed on learning the Sedarim of Moed, Nashim, and Nezikin, together with Masechet Brachot and Masechet Chulin, as these are the parts of the Talmud which focus on areas of halacha with practical application. The Rambam, of course, discusses these topics at great length in his Mishneh Torah. But in emphasis, he does not distinguish between practical areas like Shabbat and Kashrut and areas of halacha which had not been relevant for over a millennium and which won't be relevant until the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, like Korbanot and the arcane rules of Tumah and Tahara. All of these have a place in his Mishneh Torah, and in fact, the two longest Sfarim in the Mishneh Torah are those which deal with the sacrificial order, Sefer Avodah, and the laws of ritual impurity, Sefer Tahara. Remember the pasuk from Tehillim we saw in last year, with which the Rambam opens his introduction. Az lo evosh b'habiti al kol mitzvotecha. I will not be ashamed as I gaze at all of your commandments. The Rambam set out to write a work which contained everything. And let us clarify what we mean when we say everything. Whenever following the halacha requires some knowledge or text from outside the realm of halacha proper, this too is included in the Mishneh Torah. After all, if the goal is to be a complete practical guide to living as a Jew, then more is required than just a digest of the relevant laws. We can list several examples of material in the Mishneh Torah which goes well beyond halacha proper. For starters, a sidur containing all the tefillot one says throughout the year. This was not yet a household item, even among those who prayed three times a day, as the invention of the printing press was still centuries in the future. The Rambam includes the full text of all tefillot of the entire year at the end of Sefer Ahava, the book in which he includes the laws of tefillah. Maintaining the Jewish calendar requires a detailed understanding of where the moon and the sun are located in the sky, and from what moment the new moon can be discerned. For this reason, Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh contain 8 prakim of astronomical principles and calculations. Believing in God, in the Rambam's view, is not a matter of simple faith, but of intellectual comprehension of the proper nature of God. And so there are chapters in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah which delve into religious philosophy. Loving God, Ahavat Hashem, stems for the Rambam from perceiving the beauty of the cosmos. And so there is a chapter there describing the motion of the celestial spheres. Repentance, tshuva, is only possible if one accepts that a person has complete control over his actions. And so the Rambam devotes chapters of Hilchot Tshuva to a discussion of free will. Finally, there are areas of halacha where it is important to know and understand historical developments, like how the great error of Avodah Zarah originated and developed, and why we celebrate Hanukkah, a story which is not found in Tanakh, the only other book the Rambam expects the average Jew to have on his bookshelf. And so the Rambam details the relevant history of Avodah Zarah at the beginning of Hilchot Avodah Zarah and the story of Hanukkah at the beginning of Hilchot Hanukkah. It's now clear why the Rambam began this introduction to the Mishneh Torah with the history of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, and especially his detailed explanation, which we read yesterday, of why Rebbe broke from this tradition and wrote the Mishnah. Rebbe's goal was to prevent the Torah from being forgotten, And that was the Rambam's goal as well. In Rebbe's time, the Torah Sheba'al Peh was purely an oral tradition and was in danger of disappearing completely. In the Rambam's time, the problem, in some sense, had shifted to the opposite extreme. Torah Sheba'al Peh was now written, but it was written in a large number of sprawling works, most of which were completely inaccessible to the layman, only partially understood by most rabbis, and fully comprehended only by a very select few. Even those who understood them often did not have a clear idea of their conclusions on a practical level. The situation was radically different from what it had been in Rebbe's time, but the danger was the same. Unless the existing material could be organized, winnowed down to clear practical conclusions, and presented in a manner which was easily understood by the average Jew, the Torah would be forgotten by the vast majority of those who were meant to keep and preserve it. And so the Rambam saw it as his duty to act, as Rebbe did, to prevent this calamitous outcome. Because the goal of the Rambam was for his work to be accessible not only to his community, but to the broader Torah observant public throughout the Jewish world, in his generation and in future generations, he opted to write the Mishneh Torah in Rabbinic Hebrew, not the Judeo-Arabic he used for his other works, like the Perush HaMishnayot, the Mor Nevuchim, and even the Sefer HaMitzvot, meant as a companion work to the Mishneh Torah, which we'll talk more about in a later shiur. And because the Rambam wanted the work to be accessible to all, the material is very well organized. Let's continue a little further from where we left off. Paragraph Mem Aleph. Ve'ra'iti l'chalek chibur ze halachot halachot b'chol inyan v'inyan, v'achalek halachot lifrakim sheb'oto inyan. V'chol perek uperek, achalek oto l'alachot k'tanot, kidei shiyu sudurin al peh. The Rambam writes all the halachot about a given topic in one place, a major departure from the Talmudic style in which discussions can shift abruptly from one topic to another seemingly unrelated one, and then equally abruptly back to the first topic. Within each topic, for instance, Hilchot Shabbat, the Rambam divides his presentation into chapters, each dealing with its own subtopic. So, for instance, there are separate chapters on laws of lighting Shabbat candles, what is forbidden as an act of cooking on Shabbat, laws of muktzah, laws of Kiddush and Havdalah, etc. And each chapter is further subdivided into halachot to make it easy to read and to find what one is looking for. Parenthetically, the division of each perek into halachot in the printed editions of the Mishneh Torah often does not correspond to what the Rambam intended, and sometimes a break occurs between halachot in the middle of a sentence. Whereas a typical Talmudic discussion of some topic jumps right in and assumes that the reader is familiar with the relevant fundamental concepts, the Rambam takes great pains to clarify each concept at the outset, defining his terminology in detail, before proceeding to elaborate on the details of the area of halacha in which those concepts play a central role. For example, he begins Hilchot Shabbat by clarifying each of the terms chayav, patur, and mutar, each of which means something very different in relation to the laws of Shabbat. He proceeds to explain terminology that anyone learning Masechet Shabbat encounters all over the Masechet without the clear definitions which the Rambam provides. Melacha she'ina tzricha legufa, davar she'ino mitkaven, mikalkel. It is not always the case that the Rambam's definitions are accepted by all other Rishonim, a point that we'll return to. But for the most part, one who wants to learn a topic properly is often advised, even nowadays, to read the Rambam before studying the relevant Masechet in the Gemara, in order to have a firm grasp of the background concepts before delving into the intricate discussions appearing in the Talmud. So if we ask ourselves, why should we study the Mishneh Torah? What advantage does learning Rambam Yomi have over, say, learning Daf Yomi? I'll say at the outset, I think Daf Yomi is great, and, unlike the Rambam himself, I would never suggest that learning the Mishneh Torah should supplant learning Gemara. Incidentally, I think that were the Rambam alive today, to see how accessible the Talmud has become because of translations, recorded shiurim, and all the other blessings provided by modern technology to help spread the study of Torah, he would agree that everyone should learn Gemara. But two undeniable advantages of learning Rambam Yomi are scope and clarity. Over the course of exactly 1,000 prakim in the Mishneh Torah, that's less than 3 years of learning a perek every day, one is exposed to the entirety of Torah Sheba'al Peh in a way that takes an entire cycle of Daf Yomi, 7.5 years, and even then doesn't get to large parts of Zra'im and Tarot, on which there are only Mishnayot and no Gemara. And the material in the Mishnah Torah is presented in a clear and succinct manner, which is easily understood even by the relative novice, with first principles explained at the outset and proceeding sequentially from there. Of course, since the Mishnah Torah is essentially an encyclopedia, the material can be dense and hard to digest all at once. Part of what we will do in our shiurim is place an emphasis on the most important points of each perek so that the core principles stand out and are not drowned out by a mass of detail. I mentioned earlier that the Rambam's suggestion that no one should need any work other than the Tanakh and the Mishnah Torah was controversial. Why? What would anyone find problematic about making the huge corpus of halacha accessible to the broad public? The answer is a feature of the Mishnah Torah which we will delve more deeply into in our next shiur. In order to keep his work as simple and as practical as possible, the Rambam brought no alternate opinions aside from his own, and provided no sources for his rulings, just the bottom line, the practical conclusion. For someone only seeking instruction, this sounds great. Indeed, even nowadays, the genre of the practical halachic sefer, along the lines of the classic Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata, is extremely popular. But for a Talmud Chacham at the time of the Rambam, who may have learnt from his Rebbeim a different psak than what he reads in the Mishnah Torah, how is he supposed to know which one to accept and which to reject? This feature of the Rambam's work bothered many Rishonim of his day and of subsequent years, beginning with the Ravid. We'll learn who he is and what he had to say about the format of the Mishnah Torah in tomorrow's shiur.